Call to order, Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that the meeting is being recorded. Is there any public comment on matters not included in the agenda? Okay, so there's none. Highlight consent agenda. Do I need to pull anything or do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Okay, do I have a second?
Okay, who said that first? I'm sorry.
Pete was first.
Pete was first.
Second.
Second. Okay. JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
All right. Swearing in of new firefighters.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, recruit class, if you can come on up. Just a little line up here. That's perfect. So, board members, this is our fall 23 recruit class. That is more or less wrapped up. Just waiting on a few catch-up things due to some illness of testers. So I will just let them introduce themselves.
Yeah. Hi everyone, my name is Ali Coons. I'm from Red Lodge, Montana. I'm a freshman in Montana State. I'm studying business.
My name is Robbie Treadwell. I'm from Carmel, California.
My name is Luke Maxwell. I'm from Kalispell, Montana. I'm a junior at Montana State.
My name is Robert. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and I work in DC.
My name is Robbie Wilson. I'm from Lacey, Washington, and I'm a freshman at MSU studying mechanical engineering.
I'm Kate Brunel. I'm from Olympia, Washington. I'm studying conservation biology and ecology at MSU.
Awesome.
All right, thank you. If you guys would, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to faithfully execute my duties as a firefighter for the Highlight Fire District.
I do solemnly swear to faithfully execute my duties as a firefighter for the Highlight Fire District.
To selflessly serve the citizens with respect, integrity, and excellence. To support my fellow firefighters, our values, and show a continuous effort to improve our team. To uphold the mission of the Highlight Fire District, the Constitution of the United States of America, and the State of Montana. Thank you.
You're supposed to come up and pin your badges on. And if you don't draw blood, you're a failure.
So we will do the pinning of the firefighters after completing the recruit academy successfully and the presentation of their badges. So when I call their name, if one of you belong to them, you can take the badge and pin it on. Otherwise, you get these two. So we have Robert Bolt. And for the sake of time, when you get back, we'll present you with your certificate of completion for successfully completing the Highlight Recruit Training Academy in accordance with the Montana State University Fire Services Training School's Firefighter 1 curriculum, which includes 175 hours of training. So, Mr. Bowles. Kate Brownell.
got two of you. Allie Kuntz. Luke Maxwell, I cannot talk to him. Robert Treadwell.
Snack department.
Yeah. All right, for serious contingencies.
Cool. Swearing in of new captains.
Next two. So this evening we are officially promoting two of our lieutenants to captain. Just as a refresher reminder, so moving from lieutenant to captain is moving from the position of crew leader as a lieutenant to running incident command as a captain. So it's the highest position they can get to as a volunteer currently in the department. So we have, well, Mr. Ted Ewart and Mr. Jack Pemberton. Do you guys want to remind the board how long have you been on the department and what you're currently doing?
I'm Ted Ewart. I've been on the department for 4 years. I just graduated from MSU in exercise physiology, and I'm about to start applying to med school.
Thanks. My name is Jack Pemberton. I've been on the department for 3 years. I graduated in May of 22 in a degree in sociology, and I'm a resident here.
Thanks.
So, we will present these two. And then switch their badges from lieutenant to captain. So, Mr. Jack Pemberton. Mr. Ted Ewart.
Awesome.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Audit presentation.
Morgan's back.
Didn't you just leave?
You're welcome.
I'm glad your document right there is shorter than that one in front of me.
Same document, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you got all the stuff in there.
You don't want me to read it word for word, is that what you're trying to say?
No, thank you.
Probably could from memory if you wanted, but, so, yeah, my name's Carl, this is our third year of helping this audit, so this is the third time that we've seen me here.
I won't go through it page by page, but if there's stuff in it that you want to talk about, I've got my version of it too.
So the audit opinion is what you're most concerned with, which is what you're interested in. It's clean, which is unmodified, which is what you're looking for. That means that as presented there, we believe your financial statements are materially correct in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. There's a second report in that same audit packet that's at the very back. It's the report on internal control and compliance. Talks a lot about definitions of internal control, what deficiencies would be, that type of stuff. There are no deficiencies disclosed there. And so as part of an audit, in accordance with government standards, we have to do tests of controls, we have to do tests of compliance with laws, applicable laws, compliance provisions, regulations. And if we find anything that is in instance of non-compliance, we report it there. So there's nothing reported there. And then if we found anything, so the whole report's a little bit of a CYA type report that's like, we're not giving you an opinion on your controls, but obviously we're looking at your controls when we're doing audits. So in doing that, if we found anything that we considered to be a material weakness, we would be reporting it there, and we aren't reporting any. So take it from there. We issued then a second letter associated with that. It's called the governance letter. We call it the governance letter. It goes through a lot of audit administration type items, talking about how management is responsible for the financial statements, and how we are responsible for the audit. And then we work with Kenyon, who does your accounting and sort of your inflows and whatnot. We prepare the financial statements that you have in that packet there, but all the information comes from you all, Kenyon, all those. And so it goes through that. That governance letter is where we would talk about any disagreements we have with management, any difficulties, you know, if we couldn't get information in a timely manner, or we felt like we weren't getting complete information, that kind of stuff would be communicated there, and we don't have anything like that to disclose, thankfully. So, the adjusting journal entries with the audit are attached to that governance letter also, just a couple adjustments. One of them was some items that were expensed that should have been capitalized, and so that's something that we're testing for with the audit to make sure that those are all handled consistently, but nothing troublesome, concerning, pervasive, anything like that. And so overall, clean, easy to understand those adjustments too, nothing that indicated sort of an issue, because sometimes adjustments are indicative of maybe like underlying a bunch of transactions being entered incorrectly, sort of a sweeping correction of things happening incorrectly throughout the year, and that was not what those were indicative of. So not all adjustments are like created equal, sometimes they are much more heinous than others. So really just thank you, Cheryl, your accounting team opinion. We appreciate, you know, timely, thorough responses, particularly here. It just makes our job easier to keep things moving forward, to keep sort of the ball rolling, and when we pass the ball back to you, it definitely keeps moving forward, and that is important. sort of indicates ownership of the job that is being done. So overall, really smooth process and collaborative, so we appreciate that. And thank you for the opportunity to continue to do this work. We appreciate working with the district. So.
Cool. Well, that's very good news. Thank you so much for going through all that with us. And thank you, staff, making it nice and clean.
It was all Cheryl, literally.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You're sure. It's been cool. Great working with Morgan and her team. There's a lot of people under that umbrella, and it's just great working with them. So I hope we'll be sending out letters for bids in the coming year, and certain folks that you would consider doing the work again.
Awesome. Do we need to sign it or
there's
accept
a letter
it?
There. Walt that will sign and give back to Morgan.
Okay.
And Brian and myself and Walt will sign that one.
Okay. Do you want that right now or do you want to do that?
Do you want to just get the signatures and I'll email it?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming out here late.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. for making that, not blowing my head off. For not making the top of my head explode.
Thank you for not.
Great, thank you.
Trustee elections.
So we have two positions that are ending, or their term is ending. It's Justin and Ken. The term ends May 7th of 2024. So there's a resolution there for us to sign, or Justin to sign, asking for an election. Should Justin and Ken re-up on their own, the paperwork is there for you to fill out. I am a notary and can notarize that for you if you'd like. And I can even submit it to the county clerk recorder. If nobody else files to run, the deadline is February 12th, then by acclamation you'll be appointed and we won't need to do an election. If somebody else chooses to run and files the appropriate paperwork by February 12th, then the clerk will order up an election.
Nice.
What's the county charging for an election now?
You know, it's been so long since we've had an election. The last numbers we've set aside for budget purposes has been 7,000. That's probably low.
Yeah.
Because it has been so many years since we've had an election. So hopefully under 10, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's 10.
Mm-hmm. So sign up again, boys.
As long as you guys are all staying, you guys make my job easy.
And sure.
Yeah.
You're never leaving.
Yeah. So even if you don't, like, you got to fill out the paperwork so Cheryl can put her stamp on it.
Cool. Well, that makes it easy that you can do that for me.
You bet.
Okay.
And I will need you to sign the resolution, though, tonight, so I can send that call for the election so they know that
this one right here.
This is a declaration.
There's a resolution.
Oh, that one?
But there should be an original there in your stack of stuff to sign.
Okay, cool.
That one right there.
All right. Perfect.
But I will send that in to the clerk so they know that we're aware we have two positions open.
Yeah.
And they'll keep an eye out to see who's filed and who's submitted their paperwork saying they'll re-up.
Perfect. Well, I'll do mine tonight and you can help me.
Perfect.
J-U-S-T-I-N.
No comment. All good.
You good?
Yeah.
We're just wondering whether or not we need to find another person.
Oh. And how much do we get a year for this?
as many cheeseburgers as you want.
Yeah.
Pancakes.
Sure.
Yeah. He made me promise to vote for
Brian it. Brian will double the trustee salary.
Exactly.
Perfect. All right. ISO report.
So you guys have in your board packet the final ISO reports. So we were reevaluated this past summer as we were just up on our 5-year evaluation period. So the report is all in there. Again, I ain't gonna read this word for word, but essentially it's unchanged. We maintained our class 4 status. As a kind of reminder, we're evaluated in really 3 different main categories: fire department operations, water supply, and dispatching. So 2 of the 3 we really don't have a whole lot of control over, because dispatching is all done through Gallatin County 911. And we now have 2 water sewer districts in the fire district, both Ray Water and Sewer and Four Corners Water and Sewer. So it's just data collected from those water and sewer districts, and then basically factoring in our unhydrated areas, the amount of water we can move, which is done by calculation based off of our auto aid deployments for structure fires, is how they come up with that number. The fire department rating, there's some room for improvement, which, you know, before the next 5 years is up, I think we could make sure we're kind of crossing some T's and dotting some I's a little bit. I don't know that it's going to change the rating a lot based off of what we're currently doing, but we could lower it a few points. But maintained a 4, so unchanged from our last rating.
What is the other departments around our area's rating?
So Bozeman was evaluated last year as well. They are a class 2. Big factors with that are obviously they have a full municipal water system. So they get really max credit for water. And then they're fully staffed 3 fire stations, obviously fully paid. So there are 2. Fort Ellis is being evaluated this year. I'm not sure what their last evaluation was. Galton Gateway was evaluated 2 years ago, and I believe they have a dual rating. They believe they're a 6-10 because they don't have a fire station within 5 miles of every part of their district. So anything over 5 miles from a fire station is automatically a 10.
Okay.
And then Central Valley got evaluated last year, and they are, I believe, have a dual rating of 4 or 5. Four, probably within the city of Belgrade, 5 in the fire district.
Okay. And have we always been a 4 that you know, or like have we been lower or higher?
We've been a 4
for a while.
Really long time.
I believe 2007, 2008 is when we were roughly evaluated to a 4.
But we were at 8 before that.
Yeah.
For years because of a lot of reasons. And 4 was a big hump.
Yes.
It makes a big difference when the Cottonwood Station was.
The Cottonwood Fire Station being built. Brought everything within 5 miles of a fire station.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So out of curiosity, Big Sky, you know what they're...
I don't actually know what Big Sky is rated. They may have a dual rating because with their Station 3 that they're building is certain areas are beyond 5 miles of the fire station.
Yeah.
So what would it take to get lower than that?
To get into the 2 to 3 range would take probably full-time staffing.
Okay.
And municipal water.
And municipal water, yeah. Water is a big one.
Okay.
The real question is, what does it mean anymore? Where ISO used to make a pretty significant impact on
insurance.
Individual insurance, but we were just bullshitting about this earlier. Where I don't know the answer, but my sense is it's not as heavy a hit as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. That was part of our campaign, what was going to change your insurance.
And it did.
It did at that time, but I think you're exactly right. It's not such a big deal anymore.
I'd certainly like to learn more about what it actually impacts our residents anymore based on the different companies.
Yeah, I think like State Farm, I think more just looks at distance from a fire station and distance from a fire hydrant is their criteria. Even bigger topic that's currently a significant issue is, I don't know that we've seen a lot in our fire district, but it's happening around us a lot, that's affecting insurance, is a lot of people are not being renewed because of wildland urban interface. And Big Sky Bridger Canyon, it's a significant issue right now, where they won't be renewed for insurance, but insurance companies are offering policies at like a $30,000 annual premium for it.
Yeah. Did you say Bridger Canyon?
Well,
Yeah. And that would be my guess is, you know, you go between 3 and 4, the impact on insurance probably not that significant, but when you go to, if you're a 10, if you're outside, you know, that's when it's going to be more of an issue.
A rating 10 is automatically no fire department, and ISO views as over 5 miles from a fire station is no fire department.
Per Big Sky's website, there are 4-4-Y. I don't know what the Y.
Oh, so they're a dual four.
But it'll be an interesting conversation because there's, if it's not going to pay that much, our priority should be to the stuff that actually works, mm-hmm. like the prevention stuff and the training and all that. Because
mm-hmm. yeah, chasing a lower number.
Chasing a lower number because and okay. buying more water tenders just to have more water tenders for ISO is really kind of productive anymore, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Nice. Is there, I'm sorry, I read this last year, like 3 months ago or something, and I thought that when I was reading through it, I thought this is an outside organization taking a look at us,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not going to change our points, it seemed like there was a couple items in here that we could maybe polish on that would just be good for our station, period, regardless of whether it helps our point.
Yeah,
and I don't remember which those items were, but there's recommendations in here in a couple places that I thought were doable that we should take a look at doing, even though it's not going to change our points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ISO is it's a third party. It's a private organization that just rates fire departments. And again, like JJ's explaining, it's becoming less recognized by the insurance agencies.
Right, I get that. But still, it's an outside look at what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're perfect, but I'm pretty sure there's a couple things we could...
No, do you recall those recommendations? Because I remember there was an email chain and you pointed that out, and I can't remember.
I don't remember.
No,
it's longer than yesterday, so it's kind of...
I will explain to the board, obviously, there is prevention and inspections, which we don't rate very highly on, and mainly due to the fact that we don't have a fire marshal. So we don't have code to enforce, and we don't do much for pre-fire planning because we don't have a staff position for it.
That's what's required?
We get points for it.
Staff position?
To maintain it. To maintain the hours, it's a significant lift. Basically, it's going out to every commercial building annually and updating a pre-plan. Again, the fact we don't have a building code, so we don't have anything to actually go out and enforce.
We don't have a 7-Eleven, so...
Right. But if you look like down the Huffine corridor, there's a lot of commercial.
Is the state not doing...
They're supposed
appropriate visits?
They're way understaffed. I mean, there's one person responsible for Gallatin, Broadwater, and one other county. And yes, ideally they're supposed to visit every commercial structure annually, but when
yearly.
If that's one person, and even just figure the amount of commercial buildings outside of incorporated in Gallatin County, that's not even possible.
Well, I'd really like to see if there was a couple of areas that we could do something before something happens. in all seriousness, if there was something we can polish out. I know it's not going to change our four, but this is, again, somebody else's report to us as board members that maybe something can be improved somewhere. This is what my thoughts are on this thing.
What did you see, Brian, in the report that could address what Ken's talking about?
There's some training hours, and I think, the fact that the amount of training we do is far exceeding really any fire department around us. But for some reason in the report, we didn't get like max hour or max credit for structure fire training. which again, we presented them reports and they gave us our rating. So going in and kind of fighting or challenging that rating, it's not going to change the rating at all. So I don't know that it's worth the battle of actually going in there. But getting some of those training hours up is someplace we can improve.
Is it getting the hours up or getting the documentation tweaked differently?
It shouldn't have been documentation because we have training really, documented to a T, and all that was given to them. And they're calling, I believe, for 16 hours of structured fire training a month, and we should be exceeding that.
So you pissed them off, is what you're saying?
How many hours do you think we get in a month for each guy?
Of just stretch fire training? Or just in general?
Per firefighter. I assume that's what they're talking about, per firefighter. 16 hours a month for a staff of 100 or staff of 10 doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'd have to go back through the report to see how they're rating it.
So it's little areas like that if we can improve on.
This was the one that
going to talk about. Yeah, and I know we're not going to improve our ISO rating, but if there's an area here that says we can improve, let's do it because we can.
Yeah, to do an annual pre-fire inspection of every commercial building in our fire district would require another, at least part-time position, if not FTE.
Yeah, I'm not asking that. To me, I'm not asking for that, and I'm not asking that, well, let's run down and buy a ladder truck, because it's just, I don't think that, that's not the kind of question I'm asking, but mm-hmm. There's other procedures or improvements, training, whatever, that we could do that's subtle, but we could do it because we can. Let's do it.
Sure.
Just one other consider. This just takes into consideration firefighting structure type issues. It doesn't take into consideration response to medical calls, right?
So no, that's one thing.
I think that's one thing to bear in mind when we look at our set of resources. And I'm sure if we were to look at the number of hours of training, we have to, I think, also bear in mind that not only is our team being trained to fight fires, they're also being trained to respond to medical issues. And if we look at the number of medical issues that we're responding to in this department, they're pretty significant. So I think, I guess I would suggest that we be careful how we focus our resources. Obviously this stuff's very important, but I think we have to be careful that we don't focus a whole lot of resources on some issues that have a less significant marginal return relative to the marginal cost that may occur by taking resources away from medical response too.
Yeah, cost benefit analysis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it comes down to the ladder truck, right? We don't get points for a ladder truck, but we can request a ladder truck at any time.
4 points for Bozeman's?
I thought there was you got points for having a ladder truck in here. We got
because we have mutual
a point aid. Or something.
Because we have mutual aid.
Which you literally
yeah, so we got 0.13 out of 3 or something, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. But so I was.
And the other thing that skews that is it's rated for buildings over 3 stories, which we don't have any of. Mm-hmm. So.
It's be careful worrying right. about what they say, because you look at the training stuff here, and we know we exceed it by a factor of 100, and they're giving us marginal points on it.
I don't remember what it was, that there was a few things that we could do that...
Well, congratulations on staying a 4.
Yeah.
And, if there's a few things that you want to get a little bit better at, go for it.
Yeah. And Ken, if you remember or you find them, shoot me an email or something or give me a call. We can definitely look at it.
Yeah, how about fixing Cottonwood Bridge? Give us 3 or 4 points. Yeah.
That is beyond our control.
Was there any movement in that?
In fixing Cottonwood?
Yeah.
No.
You haven't heard from anybody?
What's broken at Cottonwood?
No, just the, I think he's talking about the road.
Just the road,
yeah.
Is that what you're referring to, is Cottonwood Road?
Yeah, the fact that we can't take a fire truck down the street.
Right.
Full and drive the speed limit.
Yeah, that, I don't think there's anything being considered in the county besides possibly a long-term plan that is years out.
They haven't chip sealed it in a long time.
It's because they're going to tear it out.
Are they?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, can we move on?
Good.
Discussion of decision, Gallatin County Mutual Aid Agreement.
No.
So it's in your packet. It's just for the board to discuss, and we do need an approval of it. I will tell you, from the last mutual aid agreement that was signed, the only thing changed on this was the date and the name. We were still listed as the Ray Fire Service Area and the Sourdough Rural Fire District, so they updated the date and the current list of names for all the signers. Is all the changes that were made. But if you're not familiar with the document, it's basically, it's the mutual aid document that states out that any fire district can request aid and how that's done from any district or fire service area or municipality in Gallatin County. It's the umbrella document that we've operated under for years.
Who's the keeper of that now? Patrick?
Technically the fire council.
Well, do we have to sign that every year?
It's not signed annually. It's just as needed.
So we're just changing it because we changed our name?
We changed our name. There was a couple others that had to be addressed. There might have even been a department that no longer existed that had to come out.
So you're looking for a motion to approve?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve municipal. Mutual aid agreement as presented.
Okay, second. You have to be quicker and louder.
I'm working on it. I'm telling Kevin to bite him every time.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
All right, Ray Fire Station.
So this is just an ongoing discussion point, month to month. I was able to get, and I'll get it to you guys next month, the language from the Big Sky Fire RFP for architect. Big difference that Big Sky did is they, so when we ran RFP, it was for conceptual design. Big Sky Fire ran it for conceptual design and drawing, so they're basically hiring an architect all the way through, is what they did. They ended up getting, I believe Chief Meegard said they got five responses, and they ended up interviewing three, and they selected a company out of Colorado that had local representation to the area. But, I mean, going forward on this topic, I kind of opened it up to the board to get you guys' feeling. Obviously, we probably don't need to move super quick, just as the kind of temperature of mill levies in the area recently. But if we want to keep working forward on the project, I mean, we can always get a subcommittee going to move the project forward. I'm happy to kind of just work month to month on trying to keep it going down the road.
I kind of think we ought to get an architect engaged. I mean, it's hard to have a productive conversation internally, let alone externally with our residents, if we don't have something to look at.
you know, and pardon me for being behind on this, but last time we were talking about this, the concept that I really liked was the idea of phasing the station, so dormitory sleeping space first, and, you know, connection to the existing apparatus bay, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it maybe once we get an architect in there, he's like, you should just leave the apparatus bay as is, for, you know, that can go out further in time. But I think until we get Pro in here to help us, we'll just sort of spin.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what kind of cost structure was involved for their design and architectural drawings project?
I don't. I could find out, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Apparently, there's more money in drawings than just concept.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I will say on the Big Sky project, they did do essentially Spanish Peaks is paying for the fire station. And then the Big Sky Fire District is responsible for staffing and operating it.
But, you know, if you think about, like, what's the desired end result of this phase of what we're trying to do is, one, get us better informed, right, as a board as to what we want and the components of a residential facility. And then, two, having gone through this now twice, it's essential for the public so we can have constructive conversations with them and they have something to react to. So, I mean, when we engage an architect, that should be the sort of end result of this phase. We need enough detail, drawing, elevations, et cetera, so people can have ask intelligent questions.
Mm-hmm. When is that built, the Ray station built?
The original Ray station?
The one that we're using now.
JJ. In the 70s, early 70s?
The original Ray station? 70s.
70s. And then 1991 it was expanded on.
Yeah.
And that was the last work. That was the last expansion work that was done. We bought the house in 2013, roughly.
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Well, the thing about the house was the extra land.
Yeah, well, if you think about, like, what's the value add of building this station? Why would we even think about doing this? It's to replicate the successful, in my opinion, residential program we've got here, so it helps us to continue to recruit and retain volunteers. That's the key thing. You know, I haven't been in the apparatus bay in a while, but last time I was there, it was totally functional. It wasn't nice, but right. It's enclosed, it's insulated, the roofs don't leak, it's metal-sided. That seems to me to be something that if we want to consider, you know, the cost, which we, of course, are going to have to, we can wait on, but the sleeping quarters facilities seem to me to be the real priority and a real cost benefit for our residents as we try to keep this model alive. So I'd be in favor of just moving along a little faster and, you know, try to get an architect engaged with us. Just pay them, you know, whatever they're, I don't know if it's hourly or we have a set flat rate or whatever.
Sure.
Mock something up, show them where.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need construction drawings. We're not ready for any of that. We're in conversation stage.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the, we did the conceptual, and we weren't able to recruit people to be interested in that, just that component.
Yeah.
That was, so I don't know.
Right, we got that one.
The word,
from New Jersey or someplace.
Right, from the East Coast.
So maybe just talking to the firm that did Big Skies, call them and see if they're interested, because.
Yeah, I could. I mean, there's definitely. I mean, there's companies like Think One. They did all of Bozeman Fire Stations now.
Mm-hmm. Martel's doing the one at the university. Do they have in-house architecture?
That was Think One.
Oh, it was okay.
I think Think One is working with Gateway right now on a fire station.
Yeah.
So I can put some phone calls out and just say we're looking for some conceptual work, and at least get a number to bring you guys and what it's going to cost us.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. While you're talking about that, how did the boiler and everything go? Do we get that put in? Everything's awesome.
boiler's in. They installed it beginning of November, and the house is warm.
Nice.
It's working as a new boiler should.
Awesome. Good to hear. Okay. Fire chief's report.
Okay. My apologies for it being like 6 pages long. It's been a while. I'll just kind of hit some of the points. So we ended the 2023 year with 747 calls. Wow. So 10%, roughly 10 to 11% increase from 22. 5 year average from 2018, we're at 38% increase. It was a busy December, 74 calls in December. Was busy.
Remind me what a good intent call is again.
Good intent calls are like cancellations. Right. Yeah, when we get canceled en route, essentially.
Or somebody sees smoke, we investigate, it's nothing.
Yeah. Our roster is currently sitting at 42 members. We're still working on shortages with overnight command. It's just kind of the ongoing issue. We're kind of working through the process to get some help. Obviously, we promoted Ted and Jack tonight to get some more help. But even with those two promotions, and we actually, Steve Kerbell couldn't attend tonight, but he also was promoted to captain. That brings us to 5 of 7 needed positions to do the weekly night coverage. Our current captains have been doing extra work to help us get through, covering extra shifts. And we have plans going into the spring to promote additional people, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit of getting people into that position a little sooner than we'd prefer, but we're also trying to get ahead of even falling further off the cliff. Because if we lose additional people, additional captains, it's going to hurt us even more. So we're keep chipping away at it. A proposal we did through the budgeting process for fiscal year 23 was the paid firefighters through the holiday. We did move forward with that program. We opened 9 positions and ended up hiring 7. Those are the applications that we got. So we hired them. The original proposal was a 4-week period. Through surveying the department, we were able to cut that down to a 3-week period because of some people returning. So we hired them on from December 17th to January 6th. And the 7 people were divided into 3 shifts. They worked at a sourdough station, working 48 on, 96 off. So that allowed us at least through that holiday period to have a 2 to 3 person crew on duty at all times. During that time period, December 17th, January 6th, we actually ran 41 calls in that 3-week period. And of those 41 calls, even we were able to provide a really standard of cover 32 of 41 of those incidents with that paid staffing. So it was a significant help. Through the surveying, which was done kind of through the beginning of November, we were looking at basically that week of Christmas to New Year, potentially of 2 to 3 volunteers being available in the area. So because of that reasoning, we decided to move forward with the hiring of those guys. Again, we cut the cost down pretty good by cutting a week out of the program, and it ended up helping during that time period. The most critical time was that December 18th to January 2nd. We were really short during that time. So the resident staffing model is actually changing, or has changed since I actually wrote this report. But I reported we have 4 residents living at Sourdough. We're now up to 7. So Jack Pemberton, Tyler Newell, Sophie Smith, and Robert Bowl have been our sourdough residents, and we just moved in with the completion of this class. Allie Coons, Luke Maxwell, and Riley Wilson. And then Cottonwood is now full with four residents. We moved Kate Brownell in there. We are still only sitting at one renter at the Ray House. For October, November, and December, we had two. Reed Hill came back for a short time, but he has, as of January 1st, left the department to move on with his life outside of Bozeman. Non-resident firefighters are starting back up their daytime staffing at Sourdough Monday through Friday. Multi-company training's continuing. We were on break from December 13th to January 8th, but that's started back up again. Again, the academy, as I explained, is wrapping up. We just had the FSTS instructors ill on a couple testing dates, so we're working on making that up. The 800 radio system is up and running. Captain Pareto did and continues to do a tremendous amount of work for us with radio programming, and really has gone above and beyond what has been asked of him to get us up on that system, and probably saved us significant money in programming costs by doing it on his own. As most of you are aware, in November, I took an EMAC, or an Emergency Management Assistance Compact assignment to Hawaii. I was there for 21 days working for the state of Hawaii Emergency Management. Really turned out to be an extremely valuable assignment to me. Really gave me some good knowledge and experience with long-term recovery, working with FEMA, working with the American Red Cross. Really gave me exposure to a lot of things that I don't necessarily get on the emergent end of incidents. Night with Santa, if anybody was able to make it, was December 13th. We saw about 150 people, and it sounded like everybody had a great time. The annual holiday party was December 9th. A couple of trustees were there. Again, a great event. We worked with Central Valley on a mutual aid training November 29th. Was very beneficial. Hopefully we can do more of those in the future. Listed out a couple structure fires. We did run a structure fire on Christmas Day in the Amsterdam Fire District. And thankfully, at least across multiple districts, had a decent turnout for that. The EMS study, I've kind of been talking about this for a while. It's been kind of a roller coaster ride. So Gallatin County, through Gallatin County Emergency Management, hired a consulting company to come in and look at EMS delivery in the county as a whole, and basically asked them to provide a study of best practices going into the future. The system right now, as I'm sure you're all aware of, is a very kind of fragmented, puzzled together system. Us doing something, AMR being around, Central Valley doing something, Big Sky doing something. And it's turning into, as the area grows, a system that can't keep up. So there was some issues. They had to let one consultant go and re-engage with a new consultant over the summer. That's Fitch and Associates. We've been working through the fall with that company, and they're actually wrapping up their study, and we expect to actually get the study results presented this coming spring in March, is what it's sounding like. So that has potential impacts to our ambulance program. I'm not necessarily panicking either way, but it will hopefully provide some direction on how we can actually make outstanding ambulance service to the county.
Do you have any sort of
hints on what their recommendation is going to be? And this will go to the county commissioners.
It'll go to the county commissioners. There's a couple different models that they were looking at. So it's been discussed before, but we don't have a contract with AMR. They are just here on their own goodwill. So it is a potential of contracting with AMR and actually putting a standard in place. One problem without having a contract is there's no holding their feet to the fire for anything as far as staffing, condition of their ambulances, where their ambulances are placed. So it could be actually formalizing a contract with a private contractor to provide a proper EMS service. Part of that could potentially be that they're going to request funding to do that. So it would become upon the county to come up with funding to provide to that contractor. There is the discussion of potentially creating essentially an ambulance district in the county that would create its own mill rate and collection. There's a couple of ways viewed that that could operate. It could be that it's just another agency that operates the ambulance service. It could be that there is that funding that's collected is then distributed to agencies providing ambulance service. So it could be that Highlight would get funding, but that would probably expand our requirement for responsive ambulance service. So those are a couple ideas being kicked around. Using mixed models, right, that not all the ambulances need to be paramedic level ambulances, that they can possibly be BLS ambulances with paramedic fly cars or paramedics driving around in SUVs and basic EMTs on the ambulances. So there's a couple of different models. We'll see what the report comes out with.
Interesting. It will likely be a valley only model, though, because Big Sky and West Yellowstone are
most likely
not going to be that interested.
Right. Big Sky's getting funding through resort tax, so they already have kind of an extra funding route. And West Yellowstone is just so far away that it's like kind of its own separate island down there. That it'll probably be mostly affected by the valley. Valley and then outlying Clarkston, those areas. So we'll see what they say. Still sitting on my positions with the state chiefs, a couple different committees in the fire council. Assistant Chief Dahlhauser is still chairing the training committee through the fire council. Money's coming in for ambulance transport. We're still smooth and rough pastures. Again, Chris and now Cheryl are doing a lot of work with Pintler to get those areas that need the sanding smooth done and information provided. But we are seeing some funding coming in from the ambulance transport. Again, it's busier than we ever thought it would be from when we first went down this road of transporting on our own, but our volunteers have been great about and have appreciated the experience of being able to transport patients. No injuries and all apparatus are in service.
Anything break this week?
Actually, surprisingly, very little. Colin's got a couple of small fixes to do, but for as cold as it was, we made it through pretty good.
Yeah. So no big old fires on -40 or?
No, there was.
There was one in Central Valley. It was a mobile home, but it thankfully didn't last long. But they were able to get it pretty quick.
Nice. Cool.
Helena killed one.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for all you do. It's been a few months since we met. So thank you to the staff. Happy New Year to everybody. It's awesome. Any trustee activity?
You know, there's a virtual meeting of the trustee association. What, tomorrow? Wednesday?
I have not.
Oh, you're not on the secret email list.
I am not on the secret email list.
Thursday.
Next meeting rolls that day after President's Day weekend. I'll be out of town on the 20th. Just FYI.
You'll be out of town on the 20th?
Yeah, I'll be out of town.
Okay. How's it look for everybody else?
Should be
good.
Good? Yeah.
Everybody okay with that? All right, 2:20 next meeting. All right. Any announcements?
Monday or Tuesday.
Snacks have to improve. I'm with JJ on that one.
All right, meeting's adjourned.
Okay. We'll get